Welcome to Dial M for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. I'm your host, Cameron Sheets, and I'm not joined by Mara Egan this week, but I'm excited to be here for a special, I guess, summer break edition of the podcast because I do have a special guest. Teased it a little bit on the Twitter here and there, so most of you know, but actually everyone knows by now because it's also in the title of the podcast, but we've got Eli Gorey, a.k.a. Mad Dog, a.k.a. the most jacked person I've ever seen, a.k.a. the only person that can somehow make KJ Apa look small. So excited to talk to him. More on that in a minute. I just wanted to also say, hey, what's up, guys? How you been? We've been kind of in this little bit of a lull between seasons, but it really is feeling like Riverdale mania is heating up, at least for me, because, I don't know if you've seen, but the cast is all back in Vancouver. They started filming season 4 right after the 4th of July holiday weekend. So, we've already seen some cast photos from table reads and that sort of thing. I think we're going to start to see a lot of information probably about where the season is headed is going to start leaking out. Leaking out, maybe not leaking, but, Roberto will issue some mysterious, intriguing tweets about where things are headed. He's already kind of mentioned that the season 4 opener is going to be, as all episodes have been, but season 4 opener is really going to be a tribute to Luke Perry. So I think it's probably going to really address the Fred Andrews of it all in a way we weren't necessarily expecting. But I think, I'm excited to see how the show handles it. I think it's going to be really special just because everyone on that show loves him so much. Anyway, other information about the show is sure to leak. As of listening to this episode right now, this coming weekend is Comic-Con in San Diego. And Sunday of Comic-Con, there's a big Riverdale panel. So, who knows? Who knows who's going to be there for sure? I'm sure a lot of the cast and Roberto, and I think we'll really start to get a sense of where things are headed. I remember before season 3 really even started filming, we were getting some clues as to what might be ahead of us. Although, I don't even really think we had any idea where the farm was actually going to go. They're so good at teasing things. Anyway, it's an exciting time to be a fan, but especially for all of our Dial In for Maple listeners, because we have this wonderful interview with Eli Gorey, who I think I said this in a tweet, is truly as sweet as he is jacked. just an all-around wonderful guy. Now, we talked, of course, about Riverdale, which you'll hear in a little bit, but we got a chance to talk to him because he's doing some press rounds for his new show, Pearson, on USA, which just premiered. If you're listening to this on the Thursday when our podcast came out, it just premiered last night on USA. It's a new show, but it's a spinoff of Suits. So, Suits has been a longtime hit on USA. It brought Meghan Markle into the public eye before she was royalty, which of course I had to ask Eli Gorey about a little bit. But Pearson's a great new show set in Chicago. It's centered around Gina Torres's character. Eli's got a really interesting role, which we'll talk more about in a minute. So I don't know. Yeah, I was just super pumped to sit down and talk with him. He's from Canada, so of course we had to kind of talk about Vancouver and what it's like running around being an actor in Vancouver where every single CW show is filming. But we talked about Riverdale and the fandom and Mad Dog and kind of just switching between different roles and his different shows and just a little bit of a tease for season 4. I think, he couldn't say much and wanted to not press him too much on it, but it was just such a cool opportunity to sit down with him. So without further ado, let's hear my interview with Eli Gorey. Eli, thanks for sitting down with me. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I feel like the best place to start is to kind of say congrats on Pearson, which is, by the time people hear this, will have just premiered. So yeah. People have seen the first episode.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm really excited. Yeah, I can't wait for the fan response and see what people think.
Yeah, it's exciting. I had to double check the IMDb page, but you've been involved in a lot of projects. You've been in a lot of TV.
Yeah.
You've been around.
Yeah. I kind of came through that Vancouver system. So you end up doing little recurring roles on every single CW show,
right.
Every sci-fi show and every teen romance for a little while before I came down here.
That's what's always fascinated me. Anytime I see anything about projects filming up that way, a lot of the CW projects, it's like, oh, wow, they're all there. I just picture it being like all these actors running around at all times. Like,
I mean, it's not like, I think LA, specifically like the Valley is a lot more like that. Mm-hmm. I think in Vancouver, it's like people are in and out all the time.
Yeah.
Like you got a lot of actors that are there for like 4 days and then back to LA, there for 5 days or whatever. So you'll see someone and then you'll be like, oh, wow, that's so-and-so. But then they're gone again.
That's funny. Yeah, that makes sense. Right. It comes in waves with the shows. And you're from Canada.
Yeah.
You're born there.
Canadian, yeah.
Yeah. Did you, like, was Vancouver, did you have your sights set on Vancouver? Did you want to move there and start working? Or?
You know, it's interesting because I was born in a small city called Halifax, and that's actually where I started. I was on Sesame Street when I was really young.
No way.
I was like 5 years old, yeah. And then Canadian Sesame Street. And then I did, like, little stuff in that city, but it was so small. I eventually decided I needed to move to Toronto because my sister lived there, my older sister, and I thought like there'd be more opportunities. And so then I kind of got a little bit more success when I was in Toronto. But I realized that there was like a large number of like African-American looking guys in my range that were going for a small number of roles. Mm-hmm. And then in Vancouver, it's like literally like 50% of the population is Asian. There's like 2%. Guys that are anything like me. So then I was like, if I could just get to Vancouver, I'm pretty sure like I'd have like an upper hand. Like there'd be a lot of roles and not a lot of me, you know? So that's what I did, and it ended up going well. Yeah. Worked out.
I really have to go back to the Sesame Street thing briefly. Were you interacting with like Elmo? Like what was going on there?
I was, you know what? It was like one of those things where like they throw, you know, like they do like the wipe, like this Sesame, like the where they wipe the screen, like whatever. Yeah. And then it throws like a kid like on a beach singing or like, you know, like counting or something. Mm. So I was that kid who would like do that little bit and then it would cut back.
That's amazing. I mean, I grew up on that show. So that's really cool. That's special.
Yeah, man. It's funny because like when you're a kid, you don't put two and two together because I watched the show and I was on the show. But I didn't like register that it was me when I, like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't register, like, I would just be like, oh, Sesame Street, you know? It's so like cool. And I don't know. I was just like into the show without even thinking of the fact, like, hey, you're actually kind of on that show.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's funny. My dream. Well, so I want to go back to Pearson because, I mean, again, you've done a lot of work and you've hopped around and you've been on a lot of these CW shows. Is this, maybe I'm wrong, but is this your first like series regular role, at least maybe in American television?
I mean, kind of. Yeah. So I've been a series regular on other shows, but the shows have either always got canceled or I've been killed or somehow like the like storyline switched. So this is like the first one that like, you know, God willing.
Yeah, we'll see.
Like, that doesn't look like I'm going to die. It doesn't look like there's anything like we're not going to get hit by a meteor or anything crazy like that. And I think that just comes with having done a lot of sci-fi and like a lot of high concept shows, is like anything can happen at any time. So, you know, you're liable to get got.
Riverdale being one of those shows.
Riverdale is definitely one of those shows, but you know, I try to like, that's why I stay behind AJ as often as possible.
Yeah,
like, good call. If I stay behind him, I'm probably safe.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying about that show, it's like, if you don't actually see somebody die on screen, they're probably not dead.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Even like, if you do see someone die
that's true.
On screen,
that's also true.
They're probably not dead.
Yeah, like, I feel like we knew we'd see you again after we, like, after the Prison Break episode, Mad Dog, not you, but, you know, I forget what's reality and what's not.
Yeah,
So, that's really exciting for you and Pearson, and you're playing this character, Derek, and, I mean, well, I kind of want to hear your spiel and like who is Derek to you and like what kind of a character is he? Why should we be excited to like watch a show for him and for your role?
I mean, I'm excited to watch it because I really loved the writing. I loved the way that they crafted like who Derek was and his character. He's a young guy from Chicago, born and raised, who loves his city and sees a lot of the flaws in the system and wants to be a part of the solution instead of just complaining about it or being a part of the problem. And so he's like worked his way up through journalism first. Mm-hmm. And then now he's got an opportunity kind of like picked out of obscurity to work for the mayor of Chicago as kind of his right hand. And it's the struggle that he faces between, you know, walking that moral line and trying to stay close to his principles and his values, while at the same time being pulled into this very dirty world of big city politics and having to make compromises and trying to keep his job so that he can keep his influence. So, and they really do a great job of like spinning it and like showing you all the different sides of it and not making it so black and white. And I was a big fan of Suits already. Mm-hmm. And this, like, I really feel a lot of the DNA of that show.
Totally.
In this. So it was, it's been a great experience working on it. And I love every time they put out anything, I'm like, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then also like seeing where it goes from here, I'm pretty excited.
So Derek's like, Derek's a good guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Derek is, I think that's the thing about being an actor, right? Mm-hmm. You always think your character's a good guy. Like, yeah, I'm sure Heath Ledger feels like the Joker was a good guy. You know what I mean?
And totally,
like,
yeah.
Or like whoever, point. You know, like even like Jack Nicholson and like, you know, like in all of his like crazy roles, like, mm-hmm. you know, he thinks he's a good guy. Like, that's the thing, because you always see it from, just like in our own lives, like we're always the hero of our own story. Yeah. We see things from our own perspective and we understand why we do the things we do. So I think, yeah, I can say like very biasly that Derek's a good guy, but I think the audience will also think that he's
a good guy. Yeah, for sure. I hadn't really thought of it that way. Of course, you're like investing so much of yourself in this person. It's hard to not like empathize with them at all times.
And you have to. You have to know why you're doing what you're doing. That's really the job of an actor. It's like figuring out like, why did I, you know, steal that money, or why did I try to kill that person, or like what was going on? I think it makes you a more empathetic person in general, just being an actor, because you always have to try and see things from the other side of things. Like, people don't just do things for no reason.
Yeah, totally. So as you mentioned, show is set in Chicago. I believe you guys filmed most of it here in LA, right? But were you in Chicago at all for any of the shoot?
Yeah, we got a chance to go up there.
I moved from there a year ago, so like that feels
so you
like
know, yeah. Okay, it was cold, man. Yeah, I'm from Canada and it was cold. I was like, what the heck is this? It was September, there was snow.
Yeah, it's rough.
I was like, that wind is like, is not just like a joke. It's like a real thing. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful city. We got the chance to like listen to some like blues and some like cool like jazz music like downtown Chicago, and got to eat some deep dish pizza and like, go on that like the boat tour of like the architecture.
I love that tour. Yeah.
It was like pretty amazing. It felt like I was in Batman the whole time.
Right.
Like, speaking of Heath Ledger, like, I definitely felt like that Dark Knight vibe.
I know you can take a tour and, like, see some of the locations from the Dark Knight that they filmed there. They'll, like, point them out to you.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
It is cool. Like, it makes it feel like a different, like, I think if the movie hadn't, because that's one of my favorite movies, Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And, like, if that hadn't come out, I would still appreciate it, because Ferris Bueller. But at the same time, like, Dark Knight gave it like a different edge. Like, now when I'm there, I'm like,
that's a different city.
I got my Batman.
Like,
I'm like, okay, here you go. I'm here.
Whipping out the Batman voice. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, I love that city. So I was like, I know that you guys filmed some of it there.
Yeah, like about a week.
You guys got a chance.
About a week, yeah.
And I imagine that helps if you're trying to get in the headspace of Derek, if he's somebody that's so invested in the city to like really know what's going on.
Yeah. And another great thing was we had one of our writers was, worked in journalism in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so I would constantly pick her brain and call her up, and her, like, she'd be with her family and I'd be like, hey, do you just have like 5 minutes? And it'd end up being like an hour conversation. But I just wanted to know things like they call him Flack, like at one point. And like, I didn't know what that meant. And I looked it up, but I just wanted to like get a sense of like, what does that mean? Like, how would I feel about that? Would someone, if someone called me Flack, would it be, how much of an offense would I take? You know, things like that. And so it was really cool to be able to just have people on the staff that you could talk to and immerse yourself.
So how does getting ready, preparing yourself and immersing yourself for a character like Derek, you know, he's living in a real city, how does that compare to something like Riverdale, where it's just kind of this like slightly elevated fantasy world? Yeah. I mean, it's real, but it's like everyone's a little extra there.
I love when I get to go, like, so this year, we finished Pearson, we had TCAs in Pasadena, and then I immediately that day flew out to shoot on Riverdale the next day. And I literally love that so much because it's like you're going into a different dimension. Like, you're on set, you know, whatever, like 12, 13 hours a day. So that's like your real life, and you're fighting like bad guys, and there's people flipping, and like, you're like jumping out of buildings and like
total that episode where they raid the building.
It was action, you don't expect it. That was the scene that I shot.
Yeah,
when I first got off Pearson, that's I came so back funny. And that was the first thing I shot. And I just come out of like being in like basically working like in an office building.
Right, right.
You know, like pretending to work in an office building, but essentially doing the same thing. And yeah, so it was such a like a such a difference and such a whirlwind from like the emotional kind of like. Deeper kind of like connected kind of drama that is on Pearson, you know, and I felt like that show is really about like the inner workings of what's going on inside people's minds and like how they're thinking and how they're relating to each other and like what their plans and schemes are. And then going over to Riverdale, which everything's on the outside. It's nothing on like on the inside. It's like, you know, like there's a monster. We have to kill it. And like, you know, like I think you're hot. Let's make out. And like, you know what I mean? Like it's all right out there. So it's really cool to like have to switch gears and do that kind of thing.
Yeah. I always forget because it's not like superheroes, but it is based on a comic. And obviously the comic's not like the show, but it is like pulling so much from that comic book world.
Absolutely.
You guys are like heroes, basically.
I mean, even like from the fact like I'm naked like half the time. You know what I mean? Well, like,
I was like, how do I bring this up? You are like, you're jacked. You're
oh, well, I don't know, man. Like, I'm right. Like, it's like, okay, so for Riverdale, I like, I train pretty, like, I have a full time trainer and I train to get ready for the role because I felt like, you know, this is a guy that's a fighter. He's grown up as a fighter and he's, you know, and he's been locked up for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like it was important to like really get that physicality and to have that, like when I found out about the role, to just bring that to it. And then so when we were on set, they were just like, so we're thinking you could take off your shirt for this one. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm in shape, like I don't mind. And then literally like from then on I just walked my trailer
season.
And it's like, there's your boxers, there's your robe,
go for
there's
it
your wardrobe.
I mean, that's obviously, that happens like KJ too, I feel like. They're like, well, you know, you might as well since you're ripped right now. It's like,
exactly, that's funny. Except so, KJ's a jerk because he can eat anything.
No way,
and he looks like that.
Yeah.
And it's a, so, like, so he's like, you know, he's eating a burger. He's like talking and his like cool New Zealand accent. And I'm just like drinking water. Although like, I'll have like refeeds after like a day on set because I don't get to eat the whole day.
Yeah, if I'm
like,
you're just working.
Yeah, if I'm working or whatever. So then like when I have my refeeds, I'll like, he'll be like, bro, what are you doing? Like six plates, you're being a pig, like whatever. But he's a great guy.
Yeah, he seems wonderful. I mean, I feel like that's part of another part of what people love about that show is that it's like this cast is so charming and you like see it on the screen, but also just any event they go to. It's like, it's a fun group.
I mean, I've only gotten the chance to really be around KJ, Cam, Charles, and some of the other main casts. I get to see like Maddie and people like that. I get to see in the trailers and stuff when we're getting ready. But the people that I've been around and the crew and everybody that I've met has been, everybody's just been wonderful.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I think they're just really appreciative of the success of the show. They really appreciate the fans. They really appreciate the opportunity. And it's cool to see that because a lot of times you get shows that are big hits and, you know, they don't, it's not like that.
Yeah, there's a special connection there, it feels like.
Absolutely.
I was wondering, you know, you're talking about like being in shape specifically like with Mad Dog, like feeling like you wanted to be in shape. Is Derek, were they like, okay, we need to make sure Derek is also
No. Like, so, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do now that Mad Dog's kind of like gotten out there, let the cat out the bag, so to speak. But when I first booked this, you know, it's a spinoff of Suits, so I'm almost always wearing a suit. So
makes sense.
I mean, can't when I'm on that show, you can literally like see like, you know, episode like the last couple episodes, it's like a little bit more crafty trips, maybe a little bit thicker in the in the neck area. But then I had to immediately start training again to get back into Riverdale. So I think now it like for like probably the first half of Pearson, I was like, you know, still on my regimen.
Right.
And then the second half, I was like, still in shape, but like letting it loose a bit. I think if there's a second season, I won't be able to get away with that because I'm almost sure they'll chuck like.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it'll like surprise me. So we'll see what happens, but yeah.
So, I mean, from what you can say, you are coming back for the next season of Riverdale. Maybe.
I wouldn't say I'm not.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm not.
Okay, fun. We'll take that tease. I saw, like, you know, from social media, a lot of them were going back to Vancouver today,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
they started
right.
shooting, so.
And then at Comic-Con will be next week, so there'll probably be a lot of people going back down for Comic-Con. And
yeah, you'll be there for Comic-Con?
I will not be there for Comic-Con.
Okay, gotcha. I wondered. I mean, just because I know that that's like an insane event.
I mean, I've been there before, but I won't be there this year.
Gotcha. I wondered, this is an insane thing in my mind, but I was like, okay, Suits. You know, obviously we had Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
And, you know, things worked out really well for her.
Yeah.
Do you hope that there's like this charmed path that now that you're on Pearson, maybe you can become royalty one day? Is that like...
Oh, man. Like, I don't even need royalty, bro.
Yeah.
Like, who's that actress on Charlie's Angels?
Oh.
That British actress on Charlie's Angels?
Wait,
that new one?
What's... Golly, I just watched the trailer.
Man. If I could even get a date with her, man. Like, Meghan, like, went, like, full...
Yeah.
All the way, full tilt. Like, married the prince. That's... I don't even like. I'd have to dream pretty big. That's pretty amazing. But I did have
crazy.
A little joke because I was like, she named her son Archie.
Oh yeah,
and
right.
I was
of
like,
course.
I was like, I was on Riverdale. I was on Suits. I'm not saying she's inspired, but
she definitely
I was on
is.
Pearson, the spinoff of Suits. So I was like, you know, you're
she's
welcome.
Probably a fan. I gotta imagine, right?
Yeah,
she's
no,
a Riverdale
totally.
Fan.
She named her son after me.
No, she would have named her son Mad Dog. I would have been like, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly. That's the middle name.
Wait, do you know where that name came from? Were they just like, this sounds good, Mad Dog for your character?
Mad Dog,
yeah.
Man. You know what? When I first heard the name, when I saw the audition, I was like, Mad Dog? What the heck? What is this?
Yeah.
This show, is this like for real? And then someone who I knew who was like a big fan of the show was like, yo, no, this show is great. Like, trust me, like it works,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the show. And so then I got into it a little bit and then it started to like grow on me. And then when everyone started to like recognize it, it was really cool. Cause then everywhere I go, whenever I see like people that are fans of the show, they just call me Mad Dog. Like, they're just like, Mad Dog, you know, like,
I know,
I'm at
right.
the gym, they're like, it's Mad Dog.
That's so funny.
So it's kind of growing on me now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's definitely better than like, I'm not trying to hate on Jordan, but Sweet Pea.
Yeah, Sweet Pea.
I'll take Mad Dog over Sweet Pea. That's my boy though.
Yeah, so. you got a badass name.
Yeah.
You definitely did. I didn't think, yeah, it's cool. Like obviously this is a show that a lot of people watch. So they're shouting your name.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
like, you go on Twitter and you type in like a gif for Riverdale and you come up, they'll, you know, it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
that's gotta be really cool to see just the way that this.
Oh dude, I love it. And you know what? I love that it's like a lot of like kids
mm-hmm.
and like high school kids and
for
like
sure.
just different people that like, cause like, you know, when I was in high school and like when I was, you know, younger and junior high or whatever, like I loved all my favorite shows and I loved like all my favorite heroes. And like, so it's like really fun for me to be able to like
yeah.
inspire people. And like, you know, I was in Israel about 3 weeks ago.
Cool.
And they had this thing where it's called the Jerusalem Day. And so like the streets are just flooded with all the schools are let out. Like literally you can't move. The entire city of Jerusalem is just packed full of all these young people. And they're all fans of Riverdale. I'm like,
oh
so
God.
Like, I literally was like, people were coming up.
Whoa.
They're like, what are you doing here? Is Archie here? Oh my gosh. Like, you know, it was really fun, man. Like just like getting to take pictures and like, you know, see the excitement. And that's why you do it, you know?
That's amazing. Yeah, something like Netflix can really help a show reach a like wide
Absolutely.
International audience.
Absolutely.
I hadn't even thought about that. I feel like there were a few, like when I mentioned that we were going to be talking to you, and I think a lot of people were like, oh, like we got to ask like what the boxing scenes were like. Like, was that a real workout for you too in and of itself, filming those boxing scenes
oh, man,
or the fighting scenes? Or
yeah. I mean, and again, like me and KJ, man,
mm-hmm.
like we didn't need a gym membership for that time at all. Like
yeah.
those were real weights. We're lifting a lot of, like,
Damn.
Most of the weights, like, unless it's, like, you know, something unhumanly possible.
Mm-hmm,
but,
mm-hmm.
You know, those are real weights, real pull-ups, real sit-ups, real punches. You know, like, in KJ, like, he's, you know, he's a rugby guy. So, like, when we were doing our combinations, he's like, man, just hit me. And I'd be like, are you sure? He'd be like, yeah, man, just hit me. And I'd be like, all right, well, you can hit me too, you know, but not too.
Yeah, right. Take it a little easy.
But, yeah, man, it was... a lot of work, a lot of physical work.
Totally.
But it's fun. It's fun. That's why, you know, that's what I love to do. So it's
And it's cool that you've got, you have that experience, and then you've got your piercing experience, which is a whole different thing.
Exactly.
Wearing
exactly.
suits.
Exactly.
And then just for me, I kind of had to ask, how is Gina Torres? I mean, she seems amazing.
Oh,
she's just been around and is like such an icon.
She's like beyond like anything you can imagine. Mm-hmm. She's so graceful and such a professional and so beautiful. It's almost like, man, like how do you, like, where do you even come from? You know, she's always like thoughtful. I had a play that I was doing over the summer called Greenwood 1964 in the Hollywood Fringe. And, you know, and she came out, her and Simon came out to the play and like,
that's
you
so
know,
cool.
just like sat back there, and I had no idea they were coming until the end. And then afterwards they came out and like gave me a big hug, and like, you know, she's doing a huge publicity tour, right? Like, you know, going all over the world, all over the country, promoting Pearson. But like she finds time to come out and see like one of her castmates plays in the Fringe Festival, you know, like it was just, I was like super touched, and we're all really close. Like we have a little WhatsApp group and we all talk
that's
like,
really
constantly.
Cool.
And so, yeah, but she is, she's been just a joy, just a joy.
Oh, that's so cool. It sounds like you've gotten pretty lucky with coworkers then.
You know what, man? Like I gotta say, you hear a lot of horror stories, and I'm not gonna lie. Like I have had other shows that I won't mention.
Sure, we don't have to.
Yeah, where you go, uh-oh, you know.
Yeah.
Glad I'm not there, but. Mm-hmm. But with these last couple things that I've worked on, I worked on Ballers, I worked on Riverdale, and I worked on Pearson. And it's a testament to, I think, the success of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Suits went, set what, 8 seasons? Something like that. They're going to the 9th season. Riverdale is now going into their 4th season. Ballers, you know, 5, 6 seasons. And it's because, you know, you got good people.
Yeah.
The highest,
totally.
You know, real professionals. And shows like that tend to last longer than the other ones, so it's a testament to those, to the character of those people.
Yeah, absolutely. We're pretty much out of time, so I mean, really, thank you so much.
Yeah,
for sitting down.
That flew by. Thanks, man. That was fun.
We'll be sure to check out Pearson.
Yes.
I mean, at this point, everyone already has checked out the first episode.
Yes,
we'll
yes.
stick with it, and hopefully, we'll see you around Riverdale.
July 17th. Can't wait to get back on Riverdale ASAP. And thank you, man.
Sweet. Thanks. He's so, so wonderful. Eli, if you are listening, thanks again for sitting down with us. And thanks to everyone who tuned in for this. I'm obviously so excited to have a reason to come back to the podcast in between seasons. I mean, and I guess since we're here, might as well do a quick little blue and gold roundup. I mean, as I mentioned, there's a lot of news that will probably be just on the horizon about season 4, but like everyone's been busy. There's still been a lot going on online. I mean, number one of which, I think some of the bigger news for a cast member is that Vanessa Morgan is engaged, of course. Our sweet, sweet TT is now engaged to her longtime boyfriend. I think they dated for like 5 years or so. Michael Kopech, who is a baseball player for the White Sox. I think Mara and I have talked about them on the podcast before. They're obviously an extremely cute couple, but it's just funny because she is short and tiny, and he is just such a tall man. But they're so cute, and obviously very happy for them. They had really, really, really amazing engagement photos in front of a giant waterfall, and I mean, it really doesn't get any more romantic and special than that. They're amazing photos. Like, I think someone had tweeted, like, who took those? They are wonderful. Something else I wanted to mention with Blue and Gold is that maybe some people have seen, we had retweeted a few of them. Roberto, the obviously Riverdale, we just call him Roberto now because everyone knows who we're talking about. But the showrunner, creator of Riverdale, Roberto, had tweeted a few things where he said, presented without comment. And it's photos of like Riverdale key art or promo art side by side with promo art for other newer TV shows. Now, it's kind of weird. I mean, one of them, he shared a Riverdale photo right next to Nancy Drew, which is another upcoming CW show. And it's like, yeah, of course they put them together because they have similar aesthetics. And like, that makes a lot of sense. But then you're also seeing, I mean, I think the most egregious is this promo for this Netflix original called The Order, which I don't even know what The Order is. I hadn't heard about it yet, but it looks like a mysterious dark teen drama. And the photo is what looks like three of the characters sitting inside of a diner while outside the window, there's some other characters looking in, and it's like similar color scheme, similar setup to the main Riverdale photo from season one that we all know and love. So Roberto tweeting these without comment, as he says, is definitely some shade, to say the least. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's also recognition of just how iconic Riverdale has become, especially with teen TV. I think it's like really gotten people excited about the genre. And I mean, not that they haven't been. People have been excited about teen TV for years, but there's like a new subgenre of the subgenre of TV now, that Riverdale really kind of kickstarted that trend. And speaking of, before I wrapped, I had to give a shout out to, you know, we tweeted a little bit about this, but we've got some podcast friends out here in LA that run a podcast called Too Old for This. We're Too Old for This. They had us guest the other week, so you should go check that episode out. You know, we talked about Riverdale season three, but we also kind of talked about, well, Euphoria on HBO and how it's such a wildly different teen show than Riverdale. And just generally, we chatted. It was just a fun conversation. We talked about, like, the tropes of the teen genre and whether or not they reflect what it means to be a teenager well and how important that is. And predominantly, we talked about who are these shows for. So that's really, really fun episode, too. If you are missing us in the interim, check out the We Are Too Old for This podcast, and especially the episode that Mara and I were on. I think that's all for now. Stay tuned for updates again. I mean, we plug this all the time, but follow us on Twitter at Dial In for Maple. Even if we don't get another extra episode in, we will absolutely be talking about and sharing the latest Riverdale news as that comes through. And again, hopefully there's a lot coming out of Comic-Con this coming weekend. That's it for now. Dial In for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineer is Real Causey. The show is hosted by myself, Cameron Sheets, and normally I've got Mara Eakin here with me as well. If you like the show, tell your friends. They won't even have to try that hard to find us. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. And again, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dial In for Maple. Thanks, and we hope to see you guys very, very, very soon, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in October for season 4 of Riverdale. Bye-bye, Bulldogs.